Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Abundant Living for Moms. This is a bonus show. This is from my live recording for my weekly Parenting Today radio show, which holds every Thursday. And this week I discussed if it's okay to have a favorite child. It depends on who you ask. People have different views. The question is it natural? Can you avoid it? Is it normal? Anyway, I have some very strong opinions about this particular topic, and I personally do not think a child should be preferred over another one, and I believe every child should be loved equally, and every child is unique and special, and it is your job as a parent to figure out exactly what makes each and every child special and unique, because they are. Anyway, have a listen and do let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
This topic is a question, really. Is it okay to have a favorite child?
Yes.
Is it okay? Before we get into this conversation, were you a favorite child?
I was not.
Oh.
I'm the opposite.
And how did you know?
It was so obvious.
It was obvious.
Let me tell you how obvious it was. I'm a middle kid.
Oh.
And I was severely compared.
Oh, man.
So it's part of what has really driven me with how I raise kids today.
Yes.
I never compare them. And the comparison was so much that I said I'll never have three children.
Oh.
Because I just felt the middle child suffered too much.
And I feel like this cuts across, because I've heard this severally.
And as a result, I was doing research many years ago, and I found out there's something called the middle child syndrome.
Huh.
There's actually research. I wrote it down. Somebody called Alfred Adler started the research in 1964. It was a theory then that there's something called the middle child syndrome, where the middle child usually feels ignored, neglected, because there's the adult one. There's the first one that's, the first child. A lot of energy around that.
Mm-hmm.
And around that child. And then there's the baby. So the middle child just kind of feels they're not special.
Exactly.
They are left lost in the middle just by default of their birth order. And then if you add on top the fact that you are now compared to your siblings a lot. So you're already dealing with your middle kid. You don't really feel special. Especially if you're a middle child where you have the same sex in the family. So if you're a middle child and you're the only girl, by default, you will feel special.
Oh, of course.
But if you're a middle child and you either have, you're a girl, you have another sister.
Yes,
the
sister
or
was
you're
the
a
first
boy,
child.
Or you're, either way.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, for like I said, so for me, I just said, you know what, I won't have three children. It's either two or four. Because I just said, there's no way I'm going to put a kid through this. And as a result, now I have a girl and a boy, one each. I don't compare, because I'm very focused on saying you are special. So to the point that there's a lesson teacher I had to tell off, because I noticed the first day she came, she was comparing child B to A. I called her. You know when they say horns come out.
Oh, wow.
I just said, you will never do that again. Each child is unique. Each child is special. And each child has the thing that is natural to them. Your job as a good teacher or a good parent is to nurture them along the lines that are already something that they are predisposed to.
Yeah.
You do not compare. And later she thanked me. She said, you know what? She had never thought of it that way. Almost like, how dare her?
Mm-hmm.
She was not the one over apologized. I said, it's okay.
Go
I'm
and
just,
see no more.
You know, I'm just more sensitive to it because I know what it feels like.
Yes.
And I know the tensions that it causes. And a lot of parents, sometimes they do it unknowingly. They do it innocently because they're not really thinking about, I'm about to bring my favorite word again. Intentional. Let's be honest. Life can go any which way you want it. But if you choose to be intentional about particular things, it becomes like a muscle. If you want a six pack, you must exercise.
Of course.
You can't wish it. You can't wish it into your body. You can't pray for it to just happen. It must be something that you consciously work on. So it's the same thing with this intentional parenting. And people argue a lot about whether you can be a bad parent or isn't this story too much? You know, what's all of this about parenting? Didn't we have parents before? But what I keep telling people is, we've also learned now, for example, that the way children learn is not what we taught, thought before.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that? Because now we have research.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that have been tracking data.
Of course.
Because of technology, we can actually get information very quickly, synthesize it, look through it, and start to see that there are patterns. So certain things are patterns. So there is a blueprint for being a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
There just is. Let's not stop saying, but my parents never did. That was them. This is now. And we have research, we have numbers, we have psychologists who are talking to people. We see trends. So you can either choose to say things can be different because I choose to ensure that I'm an intentional parent that doesn't repeat mistakes, or you're in the camp of, please, yeah, whatever. This parenting thing, I got it. Because, you know, I mean, you don't go to school to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it takes to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do, they're here. They're just here. And then it's like, okay, what now?
Hmm.
You know, so this question is a big one because, like I said, it's a personal one for me. And I ask a lot of parents, do you think it's okay? And I did a poll on Instagram and it was like 50-50.
Okay.
It was 50-50 that do you have a favorite child and is it okay? And it was 50-50. So it'd be interesting to get into it a little bit more to talk about what the dangers are and how if you're a parent who has a favorite, sometimes it happens by nature. One of the ways it happens is if, for example, you have a child who's more like you.
True.
If a child is like you in terms of maybe their love language,
of course,
the things they like are similar to yours, you find that you don't have to shout so much with that child because that child is just like you. It can be easier to then prefer that child.
Of course.
And find yourself spending maybe less time with another child who you see as difficult. But no child is difficult. A child who's difficult is misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we understand that a child who seems difficult is misunderstood, we can change the narrative.
Wow. I love that. Okay, so is it safe to say it's not good to have a favorite child?
That's my vote.
That's your vote.
That's my vote.
It's not good to have
it.
You know, it's interesting because I actually tried to do a little bit of research, just looking up, is it good to... And a lot of the articles that I saw was, it's okay to have a favorite child. It's only natural that you as a person, you would gear more towards a particular behavior or a particular person. And I was like, I don't know how that works. Because even as a human being and you knowing that you have a favorite child and you not necessarily wanting to make it obvious, I feel like it's almost inevitable that it will show.
Yeah.
So if you have a favorite child, are you going to start working on not making that person your favorite child, or are you going to start working on making the other children come up to that particular, you know, position that you've placed that favorite child?
So I like what you said, make the other children come up. What suggests that the other children are deficient in any way? What makes the other children not as good
exactly
as your favorite child?
Are
we doing what is easy as a parent to do, or are we doing what is the best for your child? So we say, oh, it's almost natural. You almost can't help it. Okay, fine, you can't help it. You also can't help the fact that you don't want to wake up early to take your kids to school.
Exactly.
If you don't use an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Example, my alarm didn't go off this morning. Right? So, because I don't like waking up early in the morning to get my kids ready for school, does then that mean, I mean, I just wing it every day, or I hope, or, you know, you find a solution.
Like you said, intentional.
Intentional. So, you know, so same thing. You're like, you know, well, it's natural to have a favorite child. Okay, that's fine. But what do you do with that? It's fine to have a favorite child. It's okay. If you have a child that you prefer for whatever reasons, okay, but what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you then use that in a punitive way? So when you said, for example, bring the other children up to that child's standard, that suggests by default that you see the other children as less than for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to get them to come up to this other child's level. So that's when it can become damaging.
Of course.
So it's not so much identifying it. You can identify it. Actually, you know what? I prefer hanging out with this child. Or if I really ask myself, I do have a favorite child. It's A, B, or C. No problem. But the next thing is, that's where you become responsible. What do you do with it? Do you now put that in front, because the children sense it. As a parent, you can say, I don't have.
No, I'm
but the children sense it.
Kids are very intuitive.
The children
know. Yes.
I say children are spirits. Like
of
they have
course.
Gone, you know, I mean, we are three parts, spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah. So the children can sense it. So imagine they sense it, but they sense that, but mom and dad are always fair. So I can sense as a favorite child, but I can also sense they're very fair. They work hard to ensure that we have the same playing field.
Yeah.
Versus a child who says, mom and dad have a favorite. And we know. And I know I'm not that one because this child can get away with anything.
But I won't.
But I can't.
Wow.
So it's the same situation, but different expressions of what the parent does with that. So it's all back to this. You can ask yourself, do you think it's healthy? If you think it's healthy and no problem and nobody, you know, it's fine, then fine. But the question is, we're trying to put some reasonable amount of doubts in the mind of the parent that thinks it's okay to have a favorite, it's okay for the favorite to be very obvious, and it's okay for me to act accordingly. Because when a parent who thinks it's okay to have a favorite acts accordingly in that path, they generally make the other ones feel inadequate.
Mm.
And it's that inadequacy that causes problems sometimes long term.
Okay, so practically now, if we have, I'm sure we have parents that are listening who have a favorite child,
yeah,
and they have made it obvious. So what do you think is the best next step for them?
To start to, you know,
yeah,
rein it in. It's so interesting how you don't know what you've gone through sometimes as a child, you know, propels you to do later.
Mm-hmm.
There are many parents I've actually spoken to who said, you know what, I never heard of this middle child syndrome. I never knew there was something like that. Because, you know, one of the things they say is that middle children are very rebellious.
Hmm.
And you know why they're rebellious? Because they don't feel they have enough attention.
Very true.
So why do they seem to act out more? It's because that's the only way they're heard.
Hmm.
Is to act out. Because maybe the first one gets away with everything, being the first child, you know, this, blah, 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 blah. The baby's the baby. So that middle kid is like, if I want to get any kind of
attention
up in this place, I better, you know, act out a little bit. So what can you do? The first thing is, if you have a favorite child and you know you've been obvious about it, you need to maybe ask your children. I noted something that said, you know, it's not so much about what you think you're doing, but how your children perceive it.
Yeah.
So you can find a way to ask them. If they're old enough, you can ask them. Do you think I play favorite sometimes? There's an article I have from many years ago called Parenting Through Your Blind Spots.
Mm,
say
okay.
That parents have blind spots. We
of
all
course,
do.
Of
and
course.
I use the example of when you're driving a car. If you don't look at that, we all know the blind spots. If you don't look and quickly turn your head for a second and look, you can hit something that you didn't see in your rearview mirror. So it's the same thing. Sometimes your parent, you don't even know that you have areas you need to work on. So you might start with just asking them, do you think I play favorites? Hear what your children say. You'll be surprised that your children will say, you treat us all pretty much the same. Why are you asking? That's good for you. But you have a child that says, of course, we all know BC is the golden child.
Mm.
We all know BC can do no wrong.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's your red flag that, wow, this is how they see this. I don't know BC, by the way, the name. I just use names as they pop into my head, you know. So that's one example. The second example is, I love talking about love languages, because when you know your child's love language, you have to ask yourself, am I doing the things that help my child feel loved? So one of the things, that one of my love languages is words of affirmation. So imagine a child like me being compared a lot.
Hmm.
If my love language is words of affirmation,
wow,
and then I'm compared a
that's
lot,
total opposite.
That you are not like this one. Why are you not like that one? And I question and I say, but why are you always comparing me? Yeah, but it's because you are not like them. And you're thinking, do you understand? So in hindsight, I'm saying this now. I love my parents. It
no,
does not
please.
Mean that you can't look at certain things and say, I know how that affected
exactly.
me. I know how I wouldn't want to repeat this. So imagine a child whose love language, like myself, is words of affirmation. And I don't get that because I'm consistently compared.
Hmm.
It doesn't make for a very pretty picture. Right?
Okay.
So sometimes that's what you need to look at. Do you have a child who, we've talked about love languages before on this show. Do you have a child who loves cuddles and hugs, and you say, but what's wrong with you? You're a boy. Exactly. Or your other siblings don't ask me for hugs and cuddles all the time. What's
yes.
wrong with you? I don't care what my other siblings ask for. If I'm a child who likes cuddles and hugs, you do it appropriate to their age. So if you have a son who's getting older, yeah, maybe you don't over hug him, hug him. But you know, what's wrong with a quick side hug?
Of course.
Or a high five or a back tap. Do you understand? It's physical touch is that child's love language. So I think it's important to, that's probably number two, is for parents to say, how does my child like to be loved? And if you feel you don't know it, if you feel love language is big English, just look at the way they show you love, the way they show you appreciation, or how they want to spend time with you. It's a sign of what they, how they measure love. So a child who wants to play games with you and says, come to my room, read with me, sit on my bed, help me pick out what I'm going to wear to church, it's not that they can't. You just want to do it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, for example, is acts of service. That's a child that likes you doing things for them. But it doesn't mean you then take it to the extreme and do everything for them. So you're like, but you know how to dress now. Okay, let me go with you. Oh yeah, what do you think? Oh yeah, give me two options of what you think you want to wear.
Mm.
It's the same thing, but you're building the child's ability to make their own decisions on dressing themselves. But you've made it fun. You fulfilled their need to do it with you.
Yes.
But you've also built their, you've empowered them to make the right decision.
Okay.
So you say, yeah, give me two outfits you think you want to wear. Maybe I'll pick one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about turning everything around to say, what do I want? I want to raise a child who feels safe, who feels loved, and who feels accepted. And if those are all the things I need to do, that's a reminder for myself. And I, you know, a lot of parents, a lot of women, a lot of fathers, a lot of us, we do vision boarding, affirmations, all these things for ourselves. It's all well and good. How many of us are spending even 20% of that to say, how am I consciously raising a child
mm-hmm.
who ticks off all these boxes? And what am I doing every day to make sure that he or she feels this way intentionally?
Hmm. So what about parents that maybe they've seen and they've realized that, see what I've been doing, and it's not because I wanted to, you know, put any child at a disadvantage,
mm.
but because maybe it just came naturally to me that I had this person as
yeah.
a favorite. So what if this parent wants to start maybe making up for the lost years of not showing love? Would you say that that's okay? You know, that could come
yes.
with overcompensation. Would you say that that's okay, or they just start, you know, on a very fresh slate where now I'm going to begin to treat everyone equally, or do you think that they should pay a little bit more attention to that person who for several years might have felt neglected?
So it's a balance. It really depends on how far each particular situation has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Some have gone so far that it's so damaged that the parent literally almost needs to start with an apology.
Hmm.
I know in this part of the world we think, apologize to your child, God forbid, how, why? But it's like this morning, I'm going to use this morning. I like practical examples. When I woke up late and I had to rush the kids out of the house,
yeah.
I said, I'm so sorry about this, guys. Did that kill
Very
me?
Good, of course
did that make me more less of a parent? I apologize that I put you in this situation. And by the way, I've refused to give them alarm clocks.
Oh, why?
I just feel like that's the rest of your life. You'll be waking up to an alarm. Let me
that's
be the
sweet.
One. Let me be the one to wake you up in the morning.
That's
for
so
now, for
sweet.
As long as I can.
I love that so much.
But you have to have your simple reasons. And
yeah.
it doesn't always have to be one big grand.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what, the rest of your life as an adult, if you're waking up to bang, 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 let me be the one to wake up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So I sacrifice sleep. But I know why. I want to be the first person to wake you up as much as I can. And we do it. Wow, look how you're beaming. So you have
so
to have
much.
Your little reasons and why.
Yeah.
So if you notice that, you know what, there's a child that we have a very strained relationship. I had another really sad story the other day. A lady traveled to visit her son who's in school abroad. And for the 3 weeks she was there, she didn't get to see him.
How?
Because he just couldn't. He couldn't be bothered to make the time. He's like, why did you come?
Oh, wow.
So you want to tell me that's not a broken relationship
of
somehow?
That
the fact that the boy got away from home, he's like, shh, peace out. So you're coming to see me. For what? Why? And he just dodged her and dodged her and dodged
her. For 3 weeks?
For 3 weeks until she came back. She's so broken because she doesn't even know. She's like, how? I mean, I did everything for him. And
oh, my goodness.
So it's very delicate.
Mm-hmm.
But what you must do is, I like a saying that says, a man's morning is when he wakes up.
Mm-hmm. When you wake up, it's your morning.
When you wake up is your morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if your morning is today,
of
maybe
course.
Because you've heard this and you're like, you know what? I need to make amends.
Mm-hmm.
When you need to make amends, there's a process. Don't jump into it. And if you are too forceful, the child will read through you and be like, what?
Mm, why you overdoing?
What happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Something going on?
Exactly.
Did you get a diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they can become almost very sarcastic because
yes.
they can't understand that. And you that you've been treating me like this, what happened all of a sudden?
Mm.
So it's bit by bit. The same way you got here maybe over 10, 15, 20 years, you're not going to fix it overnight.
Mm.
So it's bit by bit, but it is doable. But you have to be able to humble. I put that in inverted commas. Don't overcompensate because
yeah.
that it now doesn't become a situation where the child can walk all over you just
yes.
because they're trying to make up. No, you still have to realize that there's a flaw. But I can say I want to retrace some steps so that I can build a better relationship with this child, especially when they're already an adult or young adult.
Yes. All right, fantastic. If you are listening and if you want to ask any questions, if you have a real life experience and you know you'd like more clarity or advice as regards that, then please bring it to the table. You can send us a tweet at LagosTalks913 using the hashtag ParentingToday, or you could call 0809-234-5913, 0809-222-0913, 0809-191-3913. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, please send it to 0809-234-5913. And the thing is, in this day and age where a lot of parents are beginning to, you know, identify setting strengths in their children, and now they're trying to, you know, capitalize on those strengths. Okay, before I continue with that question, let's take this call. Please turn off your radio. Please give us a call back, but turn off your radio. And so they're trying to capitalize on the strengths, and that would mean they would be giving that child more attention. Maybe there's a particular talent, okay, and you're trying to help the child harness the talent. How do you do that while striking a balance to also pay attention to your other kids? Because, you know, sometimes it's like, this kid needs my attention more at the moment.
Right. So it's about balance. And when we say talent, I think sometimes the talents that stand out the most are the ones that the world to celebrate. So a child that can sing, or a child that can dance. But sometimes your child's talent is the fact that they can read. Reading is honestly not as exciting as dancing, right? So you have to do it together. Make it a family affair as much as possible so that the siblings are supporting each other. So that helps to reduce the fact that, oh, so I'm not special just because I can't sing. Is it my fault I can't sing? No, there's something else that's special about you. And how do we ensure that we make you feel that you're also good in whatever it is you're good in, and then find a way to support that. And I use this example because this could be a real life example. One child that can sing really well, and one child that's just a Bukati Washington can lead for Africa. They should both be celebrated in their different ways. And mind you, the love language also plays a part here. It's possible that this child who sings is naturally a very expressive, you know, extrovert who thrives on maybe words of affirmation. Oh, you sang that really well. Well done. And maybe the child who's a reader, his own, his or her love language is doing things together at quality time. So maybe it's that we sit down together and we read together. We don't have a lot of bookstores in Nigeria, but it could be a special outing to buy you books.
Of course.
We're going to go and buy you all the books. I know you're such a reader. Oh yeah, what are we going to buy? You know, the way you ginger and turn it into, that is your special. So all of us, we're going to the mall today to buy books for XYZ. That child feels special. The whole family is going just for me to buy books that I love. Then when it is the dance competition or the singing competition, hey, we're all going to go and support XYZ because he or she is dancing. Everybody does it together. So it's that togetherness, and it can only start when you make it a conscious effort that we do these things together.
Let's take this. Lagos Talks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Who's speaking, please?
My name is Chuma from Central.
All right, Chuma, welcome. Let's hear you.
Good afternoon.
One thing is, I'm the 5-year-old boy. He likes to cuddle up to his mom. But each time he does that, I will tell him to keep her on his own as a boy. I don't know if that is right. Then I'm not just saying that if I'm walking with him, I hold his hand, he just thinks like that. When I hold his shoulder, he moves.
So if I was to rephrase that question, he has a 5-year-old boy who likes to cuddle up to his mom, and he tells him to move away.
But
But when he tries to put his hand on him, he pushes him.
Exactly.
He pushes him away.
Yes.
Oh wow. That so first of all, I don't think you need to. I don't think you should be moving him away saying you're a boy. Because he's a boy doesn't mean he's not a child. Who that's how he. He likes to cuddle with his mom. It's okay, especially at 5. Please
he's
don't
a
push
baby.
Him away. He's a baby, you know. But then the question is, if he's pushing your hand away, daddy, you have work to do.
I'm telling you,
you need to spend more time with him. There's clearly something where he sees you and maybe as authority or hard or something. So he's like, why? He's just. I'm already at 5. You have the beautiful thing is you have time. If he's just 5 years old, please make it a project. In a year, you'll see the difference.
Wow.
Spend quality time with him. What is the mom doing that's making him cuddle? Maybe she's sitting on the floor with him. Maybe she's laughing with him. Maybe she's doing things that make him feel safe with her. But you show hard have a rod all the time. I'm not saying this, I'm just an example. I'm not saying it is, but that's one of the things that you have to do. The gentleman that called, I hope you're listening. That's your own homework. What can I do to build that safety net for my child to feel connected to me?
And identify that thing that your child likes.
Like, what is your child, and do more of it.
And do more of it. Lagos Talks. Please turn off your radio.
Hi,
good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Hi, Amos. Say hello to Yeti. Yeti is here as well.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon.
All right, let's see.
Yeah, please, there's something I do, because I've got a girl and a boy, and there's something I normally do, I don't know if it's right. For example, there was a day, it was raining, and that happened a couple of times, and I was meant to take them to school. So the girl is 13, the boy is 7. So there's one umbrella, so I give it to the girl to go enter the car. So I was now walking into the car with the boy inside the rain. So I was now saying, Daddy, why is Moni using umbrella and I'm walking in the rain? I'm like, my boy. Rain don't beat guys. So I don't know, is that right? Because that's my belief.
All right.
Thank you
very much for that question.
Thank you. That's, well, that's a funny one, but a real one. Poor guys. Rain doesn't beat girls. Rain doesn't beat guys. So walk in the rain. You know? The truth is we're also trying to raise gentlemen.
Of course.
So part of what you could do there is to say, it's not so much because you're a boy. It's because, to be a gentleman. Being a gentleman means that, you know, you let women, you take care of women.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing here is that it's 13 and 7.
Yeah.
So at the same time, you could be saying two of them can use the umbrella together.
Exactly.
So the older child could also be told, you care for your younger one.
Mm-hmm.
If it's raining, unless the umbrella was really tiny, let them both use it.
Or I feel like another thing could be, because this would have been you putting the extra work in, which is necessary, because I feel like that was
a teachable moment
for your child. So what it could have been would have been, she goes in first. For you to teach him, you know, ladies first. But it doesn't mean that you should be the one to then suffer under the rain. So what he could have done was to go get the umbrella and then say, okay, both of us, let's now go. You know, now that we have
gotten the lady in the car.
First.
So there are many ways to cut that example.
Exactly.
You could have tried to teach him that, you know, gentlemen take care of ladies,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, are you a guy now? So not because you're a boy, but more, I don't know how to put it, it's like, there's a sense that I still feel that there are certain roles that are for gentlemen.
Of course.
So
I feel that way as well.
I teach my son, you open the door for ladies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something, people are like, yeah, but I'm a girl, I can open the door myself. Hello, hi. let's just calm some things down. Being equality doesn't mean that we still then lose everything.
Exactly.
That is, you know, you pull a chair for a lady so she can sit down. There's some things you should still do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example there of, you know, like you said, teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
Either you let them share the umbrella together, either you explain to him that, oh, this is why I told you to do that. What do you think about it? Because
mm-hmm.
it's possible the boy would say, oh, yeah, right. So I didn't think about it that way. She has hair and her hair can get wet, but I just
there
have low cuts. Yeah, right, daddy. That conversation could go in any way
mm-hmm.
whatsoever, but it's how you use those little moments to say, this is why I told you to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Intentionality.
Yes, everything.
This is where Moyo was saying, hi, ladies. As a kid, my dad struck a balance. It's just I and my sister. He picked my sister as his favorite because she was performing better than me in school.
Mm.
Later in university, I started performing better. She was still his favorite.
So that one was, I mean, yeah, sorry, where you are.
My goodness. So, but you know, it could also have been, you know how they say, girls have special
girls
relationships
their
with their fathers,
yeah.
So maybe
yeah,
that was
I'm
the
sure
case.
If you ask, it's possible him and his mom.
Exactly.
You know? But I think it's so important that even that narrative of boys and their mothers,
mm-hmm.
girls and their fathers, you should even change it. You know,
mm-hmm.
go on a date with your son as a mother, husband or father. Go on a date with your son. Make one-on-one time because
mm-hmm.
there are certain things, especially kids of today, they need so much more. What's what I'm looking for? They need to feel your love more
mm-hmm.
than you just saying, but don't type in your school fees. Doesn't work anymore, you know. They want to know that you're really there for them and that you show them that you're really there for them.
All right, it is 1 p.m. It was a very fun conversation today. I enjoyed it, and a big thank you to everyone that was a part of the show. Yeti, as always, thank you so very much
mm-hmm.
for constantly enlightening us, you know, on parenting in general and demystifying. And that's the reason why I love this show, because, you know, a lot of times when you see parenting from a very complex standpoint, it seems very difficult. But the way, you know, we get to demystify it here, just to unpack it for people to understand that it's doable, for you to do this thing called parenting and actually, you know, parent kids that grow up to be amazing individuals.
Yes.
So thank you so very much
for
that. And definitely expecting you next week, God willing. Before saying goodbye.
Yeah, as always, don't have favorites. And if you do, don't make it so obvious.
Yeah.
All right, but no, great. This was a great show, I think. And thank you everybody for always tuning in. As always, you can find much more information on our headquarters, lagosmoms.com, and on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're at Lagos Moms.
All right, fantastic. It's 1 minute past the hour of one. Thank you once again, like I did mention. Don't forget to follow Lagos Talks across all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Lagos Talks 913. And yes, just a quick reminder as regards the Vision Board experience taking place on the 1st of February. This is going to be happening at the Muson Center. It is an all-female event. Remember, all-female event from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're going to be hearing from the likes of Idea Nang, Banker Shotomi, the ladies of the dish, and we're going to be creating our very own vision boards to help us out, you know, for the year 2020 and even beyond. And not only that, you know, getting practical steps on how to identify our vision and how to make it a reality and how to.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Abundant Living for Moms. How are you all doing? The year is totally flying by already. So today I want to talk about an interesting topic. I find it very interesting. It's called the Parenting Vision Board. What does that mean? What is a Parenting Vision Board? Why I love to talk about this is because a lot of us are looking at our plans for the year. It's already the end of, it's the last week of February 2020 already. And a lot of people are going to start thinking about the fact that, you know, we all set goals at the beginning of the year. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you have a vision board. Maybe you have some goals you've written down or some resolutions. Whichever way you did it, it's likely that you're starting to think about the end of Q1 and you want to see where you are. But I want to take this conversation slightly different. I want to talk about the parenting vision board and what that means. For me, it means sitting down and having a vision board, a plan for each child in your life, each child that you have given birth to biologically, or a child that you are taking care of, or a child that you're invested in, a child that you're a caregiver for, and making a plan to see how you're going to ensure that you are helping that person become the best that they can become. So a vision board for a child entails several things. First of all, you need to do it when you're calm, when you're thinking long term, and when you have the time to do a thorough job. So it starts with the child you're raising. You know, it's a boy, girl, how old. It's perfect for parents who are starting out and have a child in the early years between 0 and 5, I think it's a perfect time to start. However, that does not suggest that if your child is older than that, you can't start it for the first time. No. So even if you're a new parent and you started that for your child who's between 0 and 5, you need to refine this vision plan, this vision board rather, regularly, because what you require from a 5-year-old is very different from what you require from a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old. And you're not going to get what you want in your 15-year-old when they're 15. You're going to get the foundation and the groundwork done while they're much younger. So with the vision board, you basically, there is no right or wrong answer, by the way, but you have to be true to yourself. What are your values? What's important to you? How would you measure success as a parent in 5 years' time, 10 years' time? So you start with basic things like that. What do you want in terms of the character you want your child to have? Is integrity important to you? Is honesty important to you? A sense of doing what you say you'll do? Or is self-talk important to you? Affirmations, attitude, prayer, all those things are critical. So once you find out Once you do your homework to see what's in critical for you, you can start to put this down and plan for your child. So if you say integrity, for example, is important to you, that word for most adults is difficult to explain. So if you were to break it down in a child-sized format, so you can explain it to a young child, what does that look like? What does integrity mean at the basic level of integrity? And as a young child, they're not going to learn a big word like that by you just saying it or wishing it onto them. They have to see it work out bit by bit, right? So if that is important to you, you have to model it. And for you to model it, you have to know what it truly means for you. If using words are important to you, you're not going to let your child get away with throwing tantrums or just smack your child or ignore your child for throwing tantrums. You're going to teach that child to learn how to use their words. So instead of throwing a tantrum, rolling around on the floor, screaming, you're going to get down to eye level and point your finger very calmly in their face and say, "We use our words. Explain how you're feeling." That child starts to associate emotions with words. Throwing tantrums, screaming, shouting, rolling on the floor does not help you express who you are or how you're feeling. And a child who doesn't understand that early, they're going to grow up still throwing tantrums. And I'm pretty sure you know at least one or two adults who still throw tantrums, and they really shouldn't. So all these things start from childhood. So think through things like that. So that's on the character side. Now next, we want to talk about maybe the kind of education you think is important for your child. That should play a part in the kind of school you choose for your child to go to. Is it Montessori? Is it, is it a small school, big school, religious school, language school? There's so many things for you to consider. Once again, nothing is right or wrong because everybody has a reason why they choose what they choose. But it's so important you do this work so you choose the best school for your child that can achieve the things that you want in those early years at least, or whatever age they're in. So for example, if your child is somebody who, this is for older children now, if your child perhaps enjoys, writing or creative writing, you might not want to put a child in a school that's well known for engineering, for example. So when we're intentional and think through every single aspect, it's much easier. It becomes second nature. And before you take a decision, your brain kind of scans through, okay, we've done this work at some point before. What exactly is best for my child? And of course, as I've said, your child is growing, so it's going to keep changing. You don't know much about your child between 0 to 5, but there's some basic things you can put down. You want a safe environment. You want a school that has enough teachers to student ratio. So those are things you would look for. You want a school that gets down to the level of the children and helps them to learn through play. Those are the things you have in the back of your mind when you're choosing a school in the early years. And of course, that adjusts as your child gets older. Right now, modern parenting has a lot to contend with when it comes to digital media. Now, digital media, you either fall into being a digital native, a digital alien. You know, the point is, were you born at a time when digital technologies were already the rave, or were you introduced to it when you were older? That helps you to determine where you fall. If you were not born into a world where digital technology was such an ingrained part of life from day one, then you're not a digital native. A digital native is that person who was born into a world where everything is digital, everything is connected, everything is online. You know, I heard of a child the other day who had a magazine and was trying to swipe left because that's what she's used to doing, using her tablet and her parents' phone. So those are the children who, before they can even speak, if you give them a device, they know how to navigate it, and you never taught them. So digital media, digital technologies, they're fantastic, but there are a lot of downsides to it. So rather than struggling later in life or finding out that your child is addicted to online games or doesn't know how to stay safe online or is exposed to cyberbullying and all those other big and ugly things online, you must take active action early on. Once again, if your child is young, this is a time that's easier for you to put those rules in place. So a child between 0 and 1 shouldn't have any screen time. That's a recommendation from several bodies. You can search this online. As a child gets older, 1 hour of screen time is advisable if it's used the correct way. Just as there's junk food, there's junk online consumption. What are they consuming? What are they watching? Is anybody helping them to make context? I mean, to put context behind what they're seeing online. There's a difference between using digital tools to learn and just consuming mindlessly hours on end. You know, so how are you making sure that this time they spend online, it's useful for their learning? So you want to put some rules in place. As your children get older, you need to have things like, you know, digital sunset in place. Devices must be dropped outside the bedroom an hour before bed. They must do other things. This is where you can also institute rules such as if you spend 3 hours online, I expect you to use 2 hours offline. You know, you have to be flexible to fit your family lifestyle and what's important to you. But what you cannot do is to ignore the influence of digital media and technologies in today's world. You cannot afford to ignore it. And if you're passive in that space as a parent, your child is going to pay the price later on. So you can't afford to be passive about that. Okay, so we've talked about several areas, and this is a deeper project. I call it a project because it's changing, it's evolving. But I look back now and my children are closer to their teenage years, and some of the things I had set in place when they were babies or really young, I'm seeing it materializing now. And I didn't even have this process when they were much younger, you know. So I look back and think, wow, imagine if I had somebody who had walked me through thinking this way then, that would have been such a huge difference. But even then, I've done pretty good, my husband and I, considering what we're seeing here now, what we have on our hands now. There are certain areas we still need to work harder on. There are certain areas I wish I had been a little bit more intentional on, such as language, you know, learning different languages. But the point is, if you do it now, you will definitely be able to tick the box on several things. If quality time with your children is important to you, this is a time to make that plan as well. What does quality time look like? If you know what it looks like for you when you're spending time with your children, you right there, you can measure whether this qualifies as quality time or not. Being in the same room with your child is not quality time. If you're not paying attention to them, making eye contact and having real conversations. If you're on the device all the time, your child is also on their device and you're just breathing the same air, that is not quality time. So once you also identify for yourself that, you know what, on a daily basis, 20 minutes of quality time is important to me with my older child because they're going to go to school, they're going to do homework, I'm going to come back from work, and I want us to make sure we have quality time before they go to bed. The way you use your 20 minutes, if that's all you have in the evening, is much more critical than you having 1 hour with them and you're not communicating. So these are all the things that take the shape of what your parenting vision board looks like for each child. Now, we haven't talked about some of the other things that are unique to each child, which is their love language. Your child has a love language. Every child has one. Most of us talk about love language when it comes to romantic love and our partners, but your child also has one. So you want to spend time understanding what that looks like for your child so that you can ensure that you are giving the child the kind of love that they need. So if your child is a hugger, you know, wants you to do things for them, you have to figure out a way to incorporate how you parent them into their love language. Which brings us to the next point, which is your parenting style. Are you authoritarian, authoritative, intentional, neglectful, permissive? There's so many of them. But the best kind of parenting style is the intentional parenting style, where you're parenting intentionally for the outcome that's best for yourself, your child, and your family. To me, that's what intentional parenting is. And it's taking the best of all the other styles and merging it together. So when you put all these things on the table, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. But rather than being overwhelmed, I think you should pat yourself on the back if you can do this. Because when you put the pieces together, they start to form a beautiful shape of the type of family and the type of adult that you are hoping to raise. So I know I've said a lot on this this particular episode on parenting, you know, parenting vision board. You can play it again, you can pause it at any point, you can start the exercises. And if you need to get a little more coaching on this particular aspect, you can always reach out to me, because I love to help parents create their own vision board for each and every child. We don't do one and copy and paste. No, it has to be for each child. But yourself as a parent, a mother or father, and or both doing it at the same time, it's only effective if you're very clear on how to go about it and what you're trying to achieve. So thank you for listening to this. If you do it and you've seen a difference and you're applying it, I would love to hear from you. Send me a DM or tag me on Instagram at Lagos Moms or at Yeti Williams, and I'll be happy to hear from you so we can take this conversation further if you need to. If you haven't subscribed, please do so on wherever you listen to your podcast. The show is Abundant Living for Moms. And I just come on here to encourage you with raising your children and taking care of yourself and being kind to yourself as a mom in today's busy, busy, hectic world. So have a lovely day and get your vision board going.